It's nice to be in the house of the Lord. I'm not here often, and it's funny, like today I was at Sunday school, I was helping, and I had so many people ask me, Andrew, where have you been? It's like I've been really busy. And it's so nice to come to the house of the Lord, to worship God with your brothers and sisters, and to be able to pray. It's different than when you pray by yourself and you have fellowship every day with the Lord, but it's different when you get to come together with your family and sing and praise God all together. It's beautiful. Sorry. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about three wise men from the Bible. They aren't the three wise men from the story of the Nativity. They're three other wise men from the Bible. There are many wise people in the Bible. And I just chose three of them to talk about. And there are things I want to highlight about each one of them. And as I go through, I want to throw in some jokes here and there. So my first one, it was about the three wise men from the Nativity. When they came to Jesus, they were like the first advertisers. They came and they're like, we brought gold, we brought frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh. So that's it for them. We're actually going to start off in the book of Daniel. So if you guys want to open up to Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel is the first person that I chose. He holds a special place in my heart, and I've spoken from the book of Daniel to the youth before. I think he's a great example for the youth, but he's also a great example for the older generation. So I'm going to highlight different points about Daniel. Before I get started with that, I actually want to read, because I said we're going to be talking about men who had great wisdom. What is wisdom? In Psalm 119, until you guys flip over to Daniel, in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. In Proverbs, the wise man, Solomon, he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. And then later he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all your wisdom get understanding. So it's a very important topic that we talk about wisdom, and I chose a few characters that we can look at and how they demonstrated wisdom in their lives and how we can be like them. I find it very encouraging when we find people in the scriptures. In Hebrews, it says, seeing that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We can look to these people in the Bible who are heroes of our faith, and we can be encouraged by them to live lives that are pleasing unto God. So, youth, listen up. Because I know this is something that youth struggles with so much right now. The very first thing that we see when we read in the book of Daniel is a identity crisis. In Daniel chapter 1, we start off at verse 6, 7, and 8. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The very first thing that we see when we read in the book of Daniel is these people are plucked up out of their land, and they're taken to a foreign land. And the first thing that they do is they change their names. I want to read to you guys what these names mean. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means grace, mercy, and gift of the Lord. Mishael means he who is asked for or lent, that is, from God. And Azariah means Yahweh has helped. If we look at them, Daniel and Mishael, they both end in the El, from Elohim. In their very name, it's a praise to God. Hananiah and Azariah, their name ends with Ayah, which is for Yahweh. They too have in their very names praise unto the Lord. And the new names that they're given, Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're about Baal and then other gods that the Babylonians served. The very first thing that the world will try to do to you is to take your identity and change it. They're going to try to take it, and you, all of you youth, because I know that all of you youth were here and raised in this church, you've been dedicated to the Lord. You guys see how we have it here Sunday, Kundiachina, when we have communion, how we bring forth babies and we dedicate them to the Lord, just like it says in number 6. We come together as a church, we dedicate them to God, we give them names, we give them blessings in this way, and the world tries to change this. They try to take our identity and to shake our faith. And it wants us to conform to the pattern of this world that is passing away and is futile. So I want to encourage you, just like Daniel did, hold on to your identity. Don't lose your identity in this world. Don't let yourself be changed by the world. In fact, if you want to open up to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, these are amazing, powerful verses. I'll open up because I don't want to mess it up because it's so pretty. Here it is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And here's the point. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to encourage you all to be like Daniel, to have your name, to have your calling, sure, to not be shaken by this world or lose your identity because of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that, like the verse finishes, that you can fulfill the acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. We have to fight for that. We don't give it away. We don't hesitate. We stand strong in our calling. The second thing that we see is verse 8, where he says that he stood up for himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank, and therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. If we flip to John chapter 14, it's an encouragement. In the book of John, it talks about all sorts of stuff, and right here it's after the Last Supper where Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and he encouraged them. In chapter 14, verse 18, it says this, a little while longer, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not sin, and he went with boldness to the chief of the eunuchs. We read later, I'm just going to skip down to verse 14. So the chief of the eunuchs, he consented with them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables. So we see that these men, they stood firm in their identity. And when they stood firm in their identity, just like Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, God gives them favor. He opens up doors for them so they can move forward and fulfill their calling in their lives. So you see, it's stepwise. We stand firm in what we believe. We stand firm in the truth that God gives us in the Word of God. And as we do that, God opens doors. It says right there that God gave him favor. Look, verse 9. Then God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. It wasn't that Daniel had some magical powers or anything. It was that he was faithful in what God had told him to do, and God opened the doors for him to continue forward. So, I don't want to preach that there's a prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we have peace. When we go through hard times, that's what Jesus says. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives you, but I give it to you. It's amazing when Jesus talks about the peace that he gives us. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We have peace when we stand firm in God, and even though we go through hard times in life, we know that he's going to prepare the way for us. There's a verse in Psalm 18 where David is praising God after he saved him, and he says, "You prepare my path before me so that my feet do not slip." He's praising God because God prepares the way before you as you're faithful to him. And speaking of faithfulness, if you continue to read chapter 1, it's beautiful how it describes how Daniel and his friends, how they were blessed with wisdom and knowledge and prudence, and they were able to be mighty men in the kingdom. But I'm going to skip over that, and I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And this is in the setting of the story of Daniel's in the lion's den. It's right in the middle. The king has already signed the decree that if anyone makes any prayers or whatever to a different god other than him, that they should be cast into the lion's den. And this is what it says in chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew about the law. He went home, and in his upper room, with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days." That part right at the end, that's the kicker. "As was his custom since his early days." Again, youth. This should be a motivation for us, right? I don't sit down on my knees to pray. I pray wherever it is because I don't have a lot of time. But it's an encouragement to take time every day to be consistent in praying to God from our youth, since our early days. And not just to do it every once in a while, but to do it as is his custom. I love it because like all these people, they're ready to take him and throw him in the lion's den, and they know that he's going to be faithful every single day, just like he's always been. As was his custom, he went to church. As was his custom, he went and served the Lord. As was his custom, he went and prayed for people. As was his custom, he stayed in fasting and prayer with the church. It's something amazing that Daniel was so faithful when he was young, and as he got older, he was still more faithful. The Sunday school lesson this morning I also helped with Sunday school. It was a busy day for me. We talked about the return of Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus says is he has this parable about a servant who stays home, is the steward of his master's goods. And when he sees his master is delaying his coming, he begins to beat the other servants. He begins to drink and get drunk with the drunkards. And it says that when the master comes, he will cut him in half, apportion him with the dead. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's a warning for us to be faithful, right? We don't know when God is coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 7 years from now. We don't know. But God wants us to be faithful for as long as we're here, to continue to serve him with our lives. So these are just some things that we see in Daniel as we run through his life, from a youth all the way to old age. The next person that I want to talk about is a short person. And it's not Nicodemus. That was the first person that I thought of when you think of a short person from the Bible. The shortest person in the Bible, does anybody know who he was? No, it wasn't Zacchaeus. It was one of the friends of Job. His name was Bildad. He was a shoe height. Adika, as tall as a shoe. Shoe height. Shoe height. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it does depend on the shoes. But the next shortest guy after him is Nehemiah. So we're going to be talking about Nehemiah. He's the second person that I want to pull up and say, this man was a man of wisdom. So this man, if you guys open up to Nehemiah, we're actually only going to read 2 verses about him, okay? This guy's great. He's a Jew. He is the cupbearer of the king. It came to pass in the 20th year. I don't even know who the king was. And the king Artaxerxes, right? So this guy is actually kind of near the time of Esther, okay? And this guy, it's interesting because we show up on the scene and he's the wine bearer of the king. How did he get here? We have no idea. We saw with Daniel that Daniel was taken captive that he decided to stay close to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him, and he took him to great places, and he was able to use him. But with Nehemiah, he just shows up here, and that's all that we have. That's all that we know about him. But somehow, he came to be in the court of the king, and he came to be one of the people that was with him all the time. This is something important. I was reading through this. Actually, it was a few months ago, and I was just reading through, and I was like, wait a second. This man stands at the right hand of the most powerful person on earth, and God put him right there. And it's an encouragement for the youth. If you guys want to do great things in your life, if you want to go into politics, look at what Nehemiah did. He was literally in politics. Later on, we see that he goes to Jerusalem. He helps rebuild the temple. He helps rebuild Jerusalem. He comes back to Babylon, and then he goes back to Jerusalem, and he's the governor over there. This man was literally a politician, and he was able to be used by God mightily. There is place for Christians to be powerful and influential in all areas of life. So I don't want you guys to think, oh, we can't do something because we're Christians, and we sit back and we just say, oh, God, help us. No, we can be active and do something for the Lord. So that's the first thing. Kind of a throwback to Genesis chapter 12, right? This is when Abraham hears from God for the first time. So he's still Abram. And God says all these different things. In chapter 12, verse 2, he says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God isn't saying to Abram, oh, I'm going to bless you and make you rich and famous and give you all these kids just because I like you or whatever. But he says that I will do it so that you can become a blessing. So wherever you are, in work, in school, you want to be a blessing unto others, right? Just as Nehemiah was. Now, I want to read the few verses that I wanted to read about Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. Again, this is in the setting Nehemiah's heard about Jerusalem, how it's destroyed, how the temple isn't rebuilt. All of this bad news comes to him, and this is what it says. The king said to me, I was with wine before the king, and never had I been as sad in his presence before. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. And I think this is so beautiful. We see that Nehemiah, he's here in the presence of the king, and the king notices that he's sad. It's like, what's so amazing about that? He notices that he's sad because he's never sad before. So that tells us a few things, right? First of all, it tells us that he goes to work with joy. He does his service to this king who has enslaved him and enslaved his people with joy because he knows that he's in the place that God has called him in his life. The second thing that we see is that he's in it again, faithfully, over and over and over and over again. He came to work and he served the king without sadness. And now the king notices something different. Now the king is able to say, you know, there's something different about this guy. Something is not right with him. I've seen him so many times living such a great life, and I want to know what's wrong. What's different about this man? And I want to give a shout out, so to say, to Peter Pope. I wasn't able to come to the funeral yesterday. I was in the hospital with school. But I talked to my grandma and to my aunt, and they told me about the funeral and the memorial service. And they said that this church was filled with people. But it wasn't filled just with church people. It was filled with the people from Peter's work. And it was like, wow, such an amazing thing that one person was able to touch the lives of so many people. He, through his job, through his work, was able to have an impact on so many people. It's amazing what one person, what one life can do if it's faithful and consistent in the Lord. So that's another thing. We see that he served in his place with joy, where God had called him with joy. We see that he was faithful and consistent and what the Lord had called him to do, and that he had an impact in the sphere where he was. And then something really, really beautiful in verse 4. Very nice, very simple. So the king said to me, what do you request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. I love it. He doesn't say what he prayed. He just said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I just imagine him, he's like sitting there talking with the king, and he says, well, how can I not be sad? And the king says, what's your request? He's like, oh God, help me. Like, what do I say? Instant, like I have to figure out, what am I going to say? How much do I say? Do I ask for a lot? Do I ask for a little? What do I do? God, help me. It made me think of, and it always makes me think of Peter when he says, Lord, is that you walking on the water? If it's you, call me out. And so Jesus says, come out to me. And so Peter, he starts walking on the water, and then he gets distracted and he starts singing. And what does he say? He doesn't say, dear Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. No, he doesn't say that. He says, help me, save me, quick, I need help. There isn't time for this, right? And I love that because there's time for us to go before the Lord consistently, day by day by day, and lift up our prayers to him. But there's also the moment when you don't know what to do and you're in stress and you call out to God and you just cry out to him and you say, God, help me. So I prayed to the God of heaven. God, help me, save me, be with me. And I love that. We see that there's this spectrum, very similar to what Emmanuel was talking about earlier, that we pray without ceasing. We have our time that we set apart and we spend consistently and we intentionally come before God. But we also have the times where we're just walking through life and it's normal to go straight into a conversation with God, to say, God, thank you for this. Wow, this is a beautiful sunrise. Wow, this is a beautiful, like, whatever. Aren't the birds singing so pretty? It's amazing to have a relationship with God where you can come and talk to him for all the things, great and small, and you don't feel like, oh, I have to go and ask for forgiveness for all of my sins. Yes, we need that. But it's also that we come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we come before God and we say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need you to help me be faithful in all the things that you have called me to do. I love that, that he does this prayer so fast. When I was in high school with my friends, we had something that we'd call a sniper prayer. So a sniper is a person who sits there with this gun, and he shoots someone from like really, 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 really far away. Like the person can't even see who he got shot by, right? And we used to say that we wanted to do sniper prayers. And what it was as we'd be walking along, someone would say, hey, do you remember that person? And we would all pray for him right then. And it was like a training for me in life. Right now, if I'm driving along and I think of someone, of one of my friends, I pray for them right then. Because I'm like, man, I'm praying for that person. I don't see them. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're going through. But I know that they need prayer. Because even if their life is great right now, they're going to go through something eventually. So God, be with that person and help them. And you know what's amazing? As you pray for people like this, it makes you wonder, gee, I wonder what that person is going through, right? Why did God bring that person into my mind? And then when you see them at church on Sundays, it isn't just, oh, hi, oh, bye, oh, pace, poftobuna, I'll see you next week. It's, hey, stop, wait. What's going on in your life? What can I pray for you for? It changes from being, oh, I'll just pray for you because I thought of you randomly, to, oh, I'm going to add you to the people that I pray for every day and that I want to know because I'm going to be with you for forever in heaven. I might as well get to know you a little bit now. So anyway, there are all these things that we see in Nehemiah. He's a really cool guy. Again, an encouragement to do as much as we can with our lives. And to be bold, because God can take us and he can use us. And now the last person. This man is anonymous. Not by choice, but he's just forced to be that way. If we open up our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 12. This is in the setting of Jesus sitting there. He's talking to the crowds. And he's teaching like all these things that he teaches. And there's this beautiful passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it's a man with no name. He's a scribe, and he comes to him in Mark 12, verse 28. And then I'm going to skip to the end where he replies again. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, he asked him, what is the first commandment of all, or which is the first commandment of all? If we skip to verse 32, Jesus replies to him, and the man says back to him, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. There are a few things that are so beautiful in here that what the man replies is so beautiful. It makes me think of that verse in the Old Testament where it says, seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. These are the great things in life, to love the Lord, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I wanted to stop on this man for a moment. He's a man with no name. He's anonymous. But that gives us two things to think about. The first is that how many people like him are going to be in heaven? How many people are going to get to heaven who have no name on earth? If we would say their name, no one would know who they are, and yet they've done great and amazing things. How many people are going to go to heaven without having ever had a sermon in their lives, but every day of their life was a sermon? Just like Nehemiah, every day of his life, he was consistent and faithful. There are going to be so many people who get to heaven who have huge rewards because they're faithful every day of their lives. And we don't know them here, but they're in God's record book. That's the first thing. The second thing that it makes us think about, he's a person with no name, we can put ourselves in his place. We can be like one of the scribes to study the scriptures, to talk with the Lord, and then come to him. To come to him to have true salvation and a relationship with him. It's a chance for us to step forward and be like, I want to be as this man was. I want to be someone who loves the word of God, who seeks it out, who seeks the truth, who seeks the Lord, and the Lord reveals himself to him. I want to be one of those people. So many times in Psalm 25, in Proverbs, these are just places where it says that the secret counsel of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord is with the upright. The Lord reveals himself. If you search for him, he will reveal himself to you. He will be found. In Psalm 147, it says that he counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. Does anybody know how many stars there are? There are thought to be about 100 billion galaxies in the universe right now. But that's an estimate that's constantly growing. There are thought to be 100 billion stars in each galaxy. It's such a big number, like we can't even comprehend how much it is. It's absurd. And yet God knows all the stars. He knows each one of you. And he wants to have a relationship with each one of you. This man wasn't just a nobody who was there listening to Jesus as he was speaking, but he was someone that Jesus stopped and replied to. And just like that, when we turn to God and when we draw close to him, he stops and he wants to draw close to us as well. The second thing, I love this passage because I read it and I just imagine it like actually happening. Jesus standing there, he's saying all these things, and we see this guy, and he's like, hey, what's the first commandment of the law? And Jesus answers him, and I imagine Jesus like turns to him, answers him, and he's turning away, and he's about to like start off on something else, and the man calls back his attention. And he says, well said, teacher. And it's like, I just imagine Jesus, he's about to start saying something, and he turns back. And he listens to what this man says. And as he listens to this man, he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I love this imagery that Jesus stops and takes the time to pay attention and to say, no, you're very close to the kingdom of God. I love how it is when you read the scriptures and you see these images and these glimpses of like the love that God has for us and just willing to stop and turn back and go after us, after the people who are lost. The last thing that I want to point out about this man, when he first addresses Jesus, it says, yes, he perceived that he had answered them well, and then he says, which is the first commandment of all? He doesn't say anything formal or fancy. He just, hey, what's the most important? But then, after Jesus replies to him, he says, well said, teacher. Notice that that change that happened in between like the 3 seconds that Jesus said the verse from the Old Testament. There's a change from, oh yeah, Jesus is my friend and I'm chill with him and I'm cool with him and I go to him in prayer when I need help and stuff, to teacher, You are my master. You are my Lord. Again, it goes back to that verse from the beginning that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, we have a personal and deep relationship with the Lord, and yet he is still our God, and he is sovereign, and he's holy, and he is righteous, and there's no way that we can be as perfect as he is. And we have to understand that he loves us, and we come to him humbly because we know that he is greater than we are. So many beautiful things about this. Now, I am not perfect. I need wisdom. And I'm like, God, give me wisdom. Every day I pray to the Lord and I ask him for wisdom. And guess what? There's good news for us. In James chapter 1, it says this. It says, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I'm sure everyone here needs wisdom. And I encourage you to ask the Lord daily when you pray, when you draw close to God, to ask him for wisdom. And then further on in James, just because it's so beautiful, we see, what is this wisdom that we're asking for? Is it so we can be super rich and get fancy cars and like all that stuff? No, 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 no. This is what it says in chapter 3, verse 17. It says, this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, then full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. It's something beautiful that when the world sees it in us, they aren't just like, wow, that's a really smart guy. He looks slick. He's smart, right? It's a person that's like, wow, that person is a wonderful person to work with because they're peaceful. They have that peace that God has given them. They have that joy that God has given them because they're able to handle the things in life because God has given them the wisdom to handle it. So, in summary, for the young people, let's say everyone who's 100 years old and less, you have to, this is the point of this sermon, dedicate your life to the Lord. Stand fast in your calling. Be faithful where God has placed you and seek to do great things for him. Just like Daniel stood fast in his calling in the Lord. Just like Nehemiah stretched forth his hands. He went out, he did what he could. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2, it says to stretch out your tents, to lengthen them, to not sit in the same place, but to grow, to keep going, to keep expanding. Just like it said to Abraham, to be a blessing unto others. To be faithful in what you do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, or I'll just skip to verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Again, be faithful in what you have been given. If you're faithful in the little things, God will give you greater things to be faithful in. So now, I said for the young people, people who are under 100 years old, and to the old people, I don't know, the same thing. And I want to leave you guys with this thought. If you think that you're too old, dacă vă credeți prea bătrân să faceți ceva pentru Domnul, să vă gândiți la asta. In Daniel, chapter 1, I didn't read the end of it. In Daniel 1, chiar la sfârșit, zice că a fost, thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Dacă puteți să puneți pe ecran. If you could put it on the screen. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. Așa a dus-o Daniel până în anul din tâi al lui împăratul Cyrus. So, this man, how old was he at this point? Does anybody know? He was old, man. This guy was old. I looked it up. He was about 15 when he was taken captive. Okay? And the 70-year prophecy by Jeremiah had happened before his captivity. There were three pillages of the city of Jerusalem. He was taken during the second one. So when the first one happened, that's when Jeremiah had his prophecy of 70 years. When the second one happened, that's when Daniel and his friends were taken, and they were there until right now. During the first year of Cyrus, Daniel was actually in government, okay? If we look later on in the book, we actually see Daniel saying, oh yeah, in the third year of Cyrus, I actually had this vision, right? So he lived even longer, but he stepped down from his place in government. So if he was 15 when he was taken captive, and it was 67 years later, during the first year of the reign of Cyrus, he was 82 years old. And he was still serving the Lord in the place that God had placed him. It's amazing. If you think you're old, I don't think you're old. Look at what Daniel did when he was old. So it's amazing. When you're young, dedicate yourself to the Lord. When you're old, stay strong, stay steadfast, because God can use you if you are faithful. And finally, the last thing, because it was the last passage, it's for us, because we want to be like that anonymous man His name isn't written in the Bible, but we want to be like him. We want to be people who search the scriptures, who seek after God, and then we take the greatest commandment of the law and we live it day by day to be honoring and pleasing unto the Lord. So that's my encouragement for y'all tonight. I want to thank you for the time and opportunity that you gave me to share.